for the Laker Hockey Show with the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, hi again, everybody. We are live at the Antlers again tonight. We've got a cold one out there, supposed to go down to about 18 degrees below zero tonight. But, hey, it's only about 2 degrees right now, so we'll take the heat while we've got it. And Chris Sable is with us from the Antlers. And, Chris, you know, I heard something on the radio the other day where if there's a storm or something that
I'm glad you brought that up.
Tell me all about that, because I was kind of hoping it'd be storming today. It's 2-for-1 or something?
It's our Antlers winter weather advisory special. Anytime there's a winter weather advisory, everything's 2-for-1 or half off if you come by yourself.
Sure.
So,
great.
Yeah, we just, you know, lately the winter weather advisories have been, you know, shaking people up a little bit and keeping them off the roads, which sometimes is good, but a lot of times it's just a little snow. And if somebody needs somewhere to warm up, they're welcome here at the Antlers. We don't really shut down for anything unless it's really bad. You know, like to get everybody a little break and do 2-for-1 for the winter weather advisory special.
Sounds good. So next time we get a winter weather advisory, plan on the Antlers for lunch or dinner.
Right.
What else you got going?
Well, we also are just in our second week of Super Sundays, which is seniors and kids are same thing, half off or 2-for-1. And then all our soups are and stews, chili, are $1 on Sundays. So you can come in, warm up with those every Sunday. 2-for-1, seniors and kids, and soup, stews, and chili are all $1. And then this week we have another specialty burger that we're pushing. It's our Pepsi Peppercorn Pepper Jack and Sport Pepper Burger, which was hard to say. I had to practice that twice.
sounds like it might be a little steamy.
That's the spiced up burger with cola, cheese, lettuce, tomato, onion, and our famous hand-cut fries. We're also, getting famous for our poutine. This week we have a smoked Frank and cheese chili poutine that we're running this week, and we always have our traditional poutine and our venison meatloaf poutine, which is on the menu regularly.
Right up Damon Witten's alley, that food. All this food, he's just sitting here salivating.
Ironically served with a salad.
Yeah, do you have a poutine salad? He might go for that. All right, Chris, thanks a lot. It's Antlers has been great to us, and we urge everybody listening in, come on down. They've got lots of specials, and hey, if you come down here on Monday at noon, it's plenty busy, too. They've got Rotary in here every Monday at noon, and a lot of people having lunch, and come on and join them anytime. Well, Damon's moving in now. Damon Witten, the head coach of the Lakers. You got Bill Crawford, the longtime voice of the Lakers, and we're going to be joined by Daniel Vernacci tonight. He will be our student athlete who's going to join us in the second half of the show. I kind of look forward to that. I like Daniel. He's a good kid. He can talk a little bit, and he had a good weekend. He played really good on Friday night. Two tough losses against a very good team on their ice, 5-2, and kind of a game that was marred by an awful lot of penalties. And then Saturday night, you predicted it pregame. You said, I don't think we're going to see that sort of officiating tonight. And they just let them play. There were two penalties against either team. 3-1, Mankato wins it.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough weekend. Anytime you don't get points, the new polls came out today, and Mankato's ranked the number one team in the country. You know, another weekend of us coming off the number one ranked team opponent. And so some of the challenges that we face, you have to give them credit. I mean, that's a heck of a hockey team. They come after you. They've got great pace and skill to their team, and it's a very difficult matchup for us. That's where we want to get to, that style of play, that skating ability, that high skill. So it's good to go in and measure up. We talked about it being a good measuring stick since we saw them a few months back. And, you know, I think it shows we're a better team than when we started the year. And, you know, it's a one goal game Friday night. Before you mentioned, we had four penalties in the first 7 or 8 minutes. In the third period there, Friday night, me and Coach Hastings had a couple of words about that after the game, because I thought, they're too good of a hockey team to play the way they do in terms of their embellishment and going down easy. I mean, they're too good, and it's not the right way to play. And I thought it put the referees in a tough position a lot of times. And, you know, our director of officials felt the same way. He didn't like the way the game was called, and he got on both of his refs, and we did see a different game. But so the game was a little bit not quite what it looked like, but I thought we took steps. We weren't nearly as tight defensively as we were down in Florida, and that was disappointing. We had long film sessions today, both with our D group and then our forward group, and touching on some of those areas. Again, part of that is credit to Mankato because of the skill they play with, the pace they play with. They put you in very difficult situations to defend. But for us, it was disappointing to take the strides and play the way we did in Florida. So good and so alert defensively to our reads and positioning. And then to take a step back from that, it was really the big negative on the weekend. But again, you know, we limited them. I thought the offense we created, maybe the best offensive output we've had, maybe not in terms of the scoreboard. But if you look back at the grade A's we created, didn't finish on them. And that's an area we continue to have to drive home and to get better at. But we did create a lot of grade A chances. And I thought that was very positive against such a good hockey team.
Yeah, I thought, especially Saturday night, we had some chances there. There were flurries of, a minute and a half in their zone, all around their net, shooting it wide, shooting it over the net, off the goalie, mishandling it here and there. But we created some really good play, and that's very positive, and I thought it was great.
Yeah, and
I thought we were in both games.
Yeah, no question. They're tight games, and again, that's a big step for us. You know, Williams deserves credit too. I thought Stephon Williams made three or four. You talked about that flurry in the second period. I mean, and we watched him today. We watched him with the team and say, hey, boys, these are situations we have to bear down. You know, you're around the net, you get a grade A chance. We have to find ways to finish if we're going to be successful. And again, Stephon Williams made three or four just really game-changing saves. The timing of them, the way he made them were just big saves. And then you mentioned a couple of our best chances. We don't hit the net, or one of our upperclassmen had a chance wide open out front with plenty of time and kind of stick handled off the side of the net. So we've got to bear down in those situations and create some time and practice where we can develop that. Tough thing to develop, tough thing to practice, but we've got to find some ways to cash in when we create those.
Yeah, it was a kind of a frustrating weekend because Friday night game, 2-1 going into the third period, and suddenly Lake Superior makes four trips to the penalty box in the first 7 minutes. We were shorthanded and they scored a couple goals in there, and that was the difference. And then we get a power play. They give us one, and we give up a shorthanded goal to Minnesota State.
Yeah, you know, again, one of the positives coming out of it, we won that game 5-on-5. We outscored them 2-1, and then that's really good against a team like that to win the 5-on-5 battle was good and a step for us. But certainly the special teams continues to haunt us a little bit, both sides of it. I thought penalty kill, really Friday night there was just individual breakdowns. I thought we were in good position. If you watch the film back, or when you watch the film back, we have guys standing where they're supposed to be standing, just not quite alert enough to stop a backdoor pass in one situation. The power play goal, giving up the short end of goal certainly is a backbreaker. But 5-on-5, we were there, one goal game on the road. A lot of positives, but playing just well enough to lose is certainly not okay. And, we've got to learn and grow from it.
Yeah, we are a better team, though. I think this Laker team has gotten a lot better in the past month and a half. I think it'll be exciting for our fans to finally see this team play again. We haven't been home since early December.
It feels like months. I mean, it doesn't mean – it almost feels like we haven't had a home slate. You know, to be – today to get into a home prep week, it feels so foreign that we're not going to jump on a bus Wednesday or Thursday and leave town. So it's it's a strange feeling. I thought the break practices were really beneficial for us. You know, we got guys rushing to get here from ending class at 1:50 or 2 o'clock, and they've got a 6 o'clock class, and so you're always so rushed and trying to get things done. There's never enough time to practice and do film and teach, and the break weeks were really beneficial. We really slowed things down, got a lot of teaching done. I mentioned in a letter I got out to the alumni today, actually it went out, just what a good job our seniors and our captains have done. To deal with the adversity we face in the second half. You know, Domet, Perfetto, Ciotti, and Draplik have done a very, very good job of keeping this team on the same page, of driving us forward through the adversity, through the challenges. And I think without their senior leadership, we certainly would have that championship in Florida. So they've done a good job. Like I said, I think our fans will see a better team and a much more polished product. And, hopefully we'll be able to get those results on the final tally in the score sheet this weekend when we're finally home.
Yeah, we finally get a chance to play a home series. We're going to, unfortunately, go up against a team that's pretty hot right now. They just beat Huntsville twice by shutting them out 4-0 both games. In fact, this afternoon, the WCHA declared Michael Bitzner, their sophomore goaltender. He got two shutouts. He's a freshman goaltender. and I think he's out of Moorhead, Minnesota. Two shutouts on the weekend. He's kind of taken that that job away, and he's had it since early December now. And then Kyle Bauman, their freshman winger, 2 goals and 3 points, was named Rookie of the Week. So they got two of the players of the week for Bemidji, and they'll be formidable. I think Ernie Ceratori is a very, very underrated coach. You look down their lineup, you don't see a lot of names that stand out. Prapavesis, maybe the defenseman, but they're a good team.
They are. You know, they play with a ton of pace to their game. This is preparing for Bemidji is a very unique challenge. You know, we've talked a little bit about them already to our team, but when you go to forecheck them, typically on first touch they hard wrap pucks. They'll use the glass, they'll flip pucks. I think, you know, our fans will really notice. They try to set up foot races all over the ice and just underhandle the puck. So it's very difficult to establish a forecheck to get possession at times in their zone. As a team, you really have to keep players in front of you because they are looking just to spring guys and create odd man rushes. So it's and you have to handle that because in a game you get so frustrated against them because you don't have much offensive zone possession time. So it's a very unique challenge in the way they play, and they do a very good job with it. And they're built that way. You know, they recruit speed. They recruit guys who can skate and play that way, and they do a very good job. You know, and one thing, Bill, I forgot to mention, going back to Mankato here briefly, and if we can continue to do this, we'll like it, is just our pushback. You know, the goals they scored Friday night, we had answers immediately, a minute and a half later, 2 minutes later, same thing Saturday night. They went up 3-0, I believe it was, and Mitch Nardi got his goal about a minute and a half later. So I liked our response, you know, against a great team on the road. We never quit. We were right in it. We battled. You know, like you said, third period on Friday night got away a little bit with the special teams, but I liked our pushback. I liked our resolve, and we've got some guys playing their best hockey, which will help us.
You know, I want to stick with them for just a second. They're a really good team, but it seems to me they do a lot of talking during the game. I don't know if that was my imagination watching it, but there was a lot of conversation going on between their players and our players, especially around our bench and also during face-off periods. And they've got 4 really good lines. I'm impressed by all 4 of their lines. They've got some super players. The Stepan kid is not highly touted by anybody, but he's very good. You could name 10 guys on that team up front that are really good. And yet on defense, they're very good. I think they're just as good back there as they are up front. Their goaltending with Williams, he's really good. So that's a team that ranked number 1 in the nation this week after winning twice against Lake Superior. And I think that's a really interesting tournament coming up in Minnesota next weekend. Bemidji's involved in that. Minnesota State, Mankato, University of Minnesota, the Golden Gophers, and Minnesota Duluth. They're all playing in this tournament against each other. That could really be something.
Yeah, and really 3 teams that are playing their best hockey, hot teams, and the one team that's struggling is the Gophers going into it. Minnesota Gophers had a bit of a rough patch, but I agree. I think, you know, we talked about it after that Mankato series. The forward group on that team is the best we've seen, you know, whether our games, our opponents or scouting games or watching, you know, Michigan and Minnesota on TV, whatever it is, that's the best, deepest forward group we've seen anywhere in the country. And then you mentioned not that their D-Corps struggles or anything like that. They've got good size. They've got mobility. If you can get past that, you got Stephon Williams. Our only issue came with, like I said, they're too good of a team. You look thick infractions, trips, hooks, and play strong, you play heavy, and I didn't think they did that Friday night, and that'd be the one area when you get into tournament time, and, you know, if you're going down looking for calls, you know, when it tightens up a little bit in the NCAA, that might be the one area they run into trouble. They've got to play a little bit heavier, but boy, what a good team. They come at you, and again, that's the model we're looking at. We want to be able to skate with them, our first line through our fourth line moving forward.
Yeah, you mentioned the little set two that you had post game with Mike Hastings that night too. I think that was over that subject right there, was it not?
Yeah, it was. It just, you know, I told Mike, like, you guys are too good of a hockey team to play that way, and then to teach your guys. I mean, yeah, really, really frustrating. You know, we had 8 penalties that night. I think 5 or 6 were all hooks or trips, and you know, maybe 1 or 2 was legit. And then actually, the director of officials actually said, 2 of them shouldn't have been penalties on Lake State at all. They should have been dives on Mankato. They call one early. It gets it out of the game. They're just too good of a hockey team to need to play that way. And you would have thought they were all freshmen and young guys and that we were the seniors and juniors playing heavier and stronger. And that's not the case. We had 5 freshmen D and they were going down. So that was a little bit, you know, I just didn't like that part. But, you know, They can do that because they skate and they're smart hockey players, but I'd like to see them get that out of their game.
Yeah, and I think it's fairly accurate to state that Lake Superior really played very well offensively. We had spurts of great offensive ability, but we just don't finish. We just don't have the sniper that you got to have that can put that puck away on the great, great chances. Man, I can remember one time Gus went in there in the third period of or second period of game two and fired one. He was wide open in the slot and he missed the net on it. And I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to pick that side of the net to beat Williams, but you know, we got to hit the net on those shots.
Well, it's probably
drives me nuts.
Yeah, it's probably no secret. I mean, you look just as simply at numbers, and you know, obviously you can say the same thing about our team defense. Our numbers are too high, our goal scoring is too low. So there's challenges all over. But I think you agree, and we showed a couple situations tonight. Al Globke and Mitch Nardi had a nice 2-on-1, and Al was really in a prime grade A scoring area. He actually made a great pass back to Mitch Nardi, but we said, Al, you know, be a little selfish in that situation. Al, you're a goal scorer, you can shoot the puck, shoot to score. And I think who had the other one? That might have been Garrett Clement. Maybe was going in a 2-on-1, and he tried to make a cute pass instead of putting a good quality shot on net. So you know, we've got to, when we get in the grade A, we just got to bear down and put a good shot to the net. You don't have to pick a corner. You have to hit the net and have traffic going and simplify those things a little bit. So it's an area we talk about quite a bit.
I think sometimes they know they're not scoring and they bear down a little too much. They try too hard. Great example was on Saturday night when Andrew Domit's wide open out front. And, you know, he's been real hard on himself this year. He's been really questioning. And he gets that great chance. And
yeah, you grip your stick and you try to force it. And like you said, you know, you're facing goaltenders like Williams, who was, I think, the WCHA Rookie of the Year 2 years ago. And, yeah, you think you have to go down and make a perfect shot to beat him. And you know,
just shoot it.
Yeah, shoot it, get a rebound. And, you know, poor Domit earlier in that game, we had maybe one of our best line rushes of the year, the 3-on-2. I think Gus slid it over to Domit in the dot lane, and he hit the crossbar
yes.
pipe right where they meet. Great shot, great play, and that's his puck luck this year. And then later on, the frustration mounts. So Dom really needs to get one and get the monkey off his back a little bit and get rolling.
You mentioned Alex a minute ago. Globke had, I thought, a really good weekend. He had 3 points, scored a goal, had a couple of assists. Could have had some other. He did a good job. He played real strong.
Well, you're strong. I think Bill, I like that word. I thought early in the year he was maybe not playing as strong. He ended up on the ice a little bit too much, but he's playing his best hockey by far. I mean, we need that. Everybody in this room and listening knows how important he is to our hockey team, and he's been a real shot in the arm. And hopefully, you know, getting this streak going and getting going a little bit really awakens Al Globke. But I think the last 2 or 3 weekends of hockey, he's been really picking his game up. He's playing with more speed. He's playing strong on his feet. He's showing a lot of the things that we all know we have. So, you know, we tried hard to put him in situations all year long to get him going. And, you know, whatever it is now, playing with Nardi and Vernacci this weekend, they had some chemistry and got going. Al's been back on the power play for a few weeks, which, again, is an area he should excel in and be good at. So we've got him back there, and hopefully we can, you know, get more and more out of him as we move forward.
Yeah, another couple guys who I thought were worth mentioning, and they played really well offensively. Steven Perfetto, I thought, you know, I almost feel bad for him sometimes. He'll do 5 things right, and then he'll get poke checked, or he'll dump the puck to somebody, and they won't take the pass. Or I thought he played really well, and so did Mitch Nardi on Saturday night.
Yeah, Perf's been playing good for us. You know, we did another one of our.
He's been good all year.
Yeah, senior captains. He plays with speed. He's strong. I mean, he's absolutely just a ripped, strong Jack kid off the ice. So he's really paid the price to be ready to play. And, you know, we like him a lot in the areas. Plays all situations. I'm sure he leads our forward group in time on ice. Him and Gus play both quite a bit. And Perf is both power play, penalty kill. So he's been an invaluable guy for us. There's times defensively we'd like him to be a little bit more aware. And I know he's trying to help us offensively a little bit at times as well. So I thought he was pretty good. You know, and Nardi's playing well. Nardi's skating. He's playing stronger. He's very good on faceoffs, and that helps. You know, Al and Vernacci this weekend, the offensive zone faceoffs, the D zone, they're winning faceoffs. Now we've got possession. We can go to work a little bit. So I thought Nardi's done a good job the last few weeks going in, and him and Al have been together for a couple weeks now.
Okay, we're way past time to take a break here on the Laker Hockey Show, so we'll do that right now. We'll be back with more on ESPN 1400. Crawford, Damon Witten back in with a little bit shorter segment here now. Daniel Vernacci will join us here in the third segment tonight, but, we've got only one question tonight from the fans who are here. We want to say thanks to all the fans for being here again. We've got another good crowd at the Antlers, and that's always gratifying. The penalty kill and the power play are just not working. What can be done?
Yeah.
There's that question of the season right there.
I think if we start with the penalty kill, you know, a lot of it, obviously, your goaltender's your best penalty killer. And, you know, Gordy's playing very good hockey, and that helps for sure. So that's taken a little bit of a step. You know, ultimately, we play five freshman defensemen every night, and you know, or four minimum. And that's tough. You're asking a lot of these guys. You're asking a freshman defenseman to come play against Leitner, who's going to be a Hobie Baker candidate, or the Schmaltz brothers in North Dakota, whoever it is. So you've got these inexperienced guys that have to play against great players in college hockey, and whether they're young freshmen or old freshmen, they're still freshmen, and that's difficult. One thing we've really been on our freshman D is to learn how to communicate better, to make our reads defensively, 5-on-5 PK, to help us be more organized. And it's a skill, just like skating, shooting the puck. We want to talk better on the ice, but when you're a young guy, it's tough. You're not a leader. You haven't been around, so we're asking more that way. So that's part of it. You know, up front, we've really, over the last probably month, we've really changed the penalty killers we use. We really have our set pairings now, and our numbers are better from that. Saturday night, you know, we killed them off and did a good job. And then even to go back to Friday, we talked about a little bit. It was both power play goals against were an individual mistake. We didn't feel like it was a system breakdown, and we had a guy standing exactly where he's supposed to be standing. He just missed by a quarter of an inch of stopping the puck that went right by him for a backdoor tap in. So, and again, it was a freshman defenseman. It's a little bit of a recognition, urgency, and really being ready. So I think that's part of it with the penalty kill. I think it's better. It's taking steps, but we're a little bit inexperienced for sure, certainly on the back end. Power play wise, you know, that's a great question. We've switched groups. We've switched guys. We started off with a 1-3-1 with Globke in the middle. Globke wasn't on it for a while when we were asking him to do a little bit more away from the puck. You know, Perfetto's played in every position. Ciotti's played up top for a little bit. I think we lack we either lack it or they're in a freshman situation, a true defenseman who can quarterback a power play, and that becomes very difficult. You know, Draplik has a spot on the power play, but it's not as a QB. It's more off the side and does a very good job there. Jimmy Roll shows some things about being a true quarterback for the power play. Again, you're asking a freshman to do it against great players, strong players, fast players. And that's really where a lot of it starts from, is just having a guy who can calm it down, make a good first pass. You know, our puck touches need to improve. I think at times our execution is not as good as it needs to be. So we continue to move pieces around and look to get things done. We're trying to, once again, simplify some things and then just get a little ugly with it. Get pucks to the net, have bodies at the net. We had a group earlier, Austin McKay's not been on it lately, but he's got two or three power play goals. Early in the year, we were just wristing pucks to the net. McKay was doing a good job of banging away. So it's probably time to reevaluate again and shift some pieces and bodies around.
Yeah, there's only so much. You know, you can try all kinds of things. You can try different players, different combinations. You can try different theories. You can go to umbrella. You can go down a side. You can... You got to have players who execute, and that's the key right now. We don't execute on that power play, and we surrender the puck a lot. And the other team will shoot it down the ice, and sometimes they'll go down the ice and score. I think we've been scored on when we've had the power play about 3-4 times this year. So we want to we are working on it. I know you guys work on it every day. I watch enough practice to know what's going on there, but it isn't working, and there's nothing you can do except maybe. Try to bring in more players who can handle that sort of stress or do something better with it. Or hey, maybe we try some other guys who haven't even ever seen the power play. I don't know, but it's been a real tough part of the game. How about the facilities at Mankato? Before we leave that whole subject here tonight, I want to talk about that because I thought it was a fantastic arena. I loved it. I don't know how you guys felt about it. I don't know what the facilities were for you downstairs, but anytime I can go from the hotel and stay indoors and go walk across and be right on the level I got to be on to walk into the press box, and it takes me 5 minutes to do it, I'm a happy guy. It was cold there like it is here tonight, and that was fantastic. I love the facility.
Set up well for Bill Crawford.
Yeah,
so that's important.
I think it was set up well. I think it was set up well for everybody.
Yeah, no,
it was set
is.
Up well for their crowd.
Yeah.
And,
it's a nice setup. I mean, they've got a nice little city center down there, and like you mentioned, our hotel was connected, and it was weird. I didn't like our team travel. We had the sleeper bus because it's a 12-13 hour trip, and we left Wednesday night. We got into Mankato, 9:30 Thursday morning, and the bus driver has to go get his mandated rest by law, And, you know, we're in a hotel. We can walk to the rink, but we didn't leave the hotel from really then forward. And so you just feel like the trip is so long. And so I think next year we'll look at breaking up, maybe driving a Green Bay thing part way. But beyond that, yeah, I mean, I like the facility. I mean, it's not the atmosphere at maybe a Fair State or, you know, what Tech's got going on or down at Yo. So it's a spread out rink. It's kind of gradual. So it's not an overly loud or difficult place to play. It's kind of a quieter place to play, but they've done a really nice job with the upgrades over the last couple of years. And to walk right there and everything's extremely convenient. We actually used our hotel meal room for a team video. That's how close it is. So at 5:40, we do a penalty kill video of Mankato or the point we're playing. So instead of having it at the rink because you're limited space, we walked through the jetway, which is a minute walk, and we had it in a team meal room at the hotel. So it's definitely a unique situation.
Yeah, and it was an interesting building. It was like playing in a huge gymnasium with a rink in it. It had huge seats on both sides that went way up. And as you say, I think it's so cavernous. They had over 3,000 fans in there on a Saturday night, but they didn't make a lot of noise.
Yeah, and one end's flat. So, yeah,
one end's a wall.
Yeah, it's always kind of, you know, when the students were just coming back, the band there Saturday night helped out the environment and the atmosphere a little bit. So, you know, it's a nice facility, and the upgrades they've done. It was an Olympic sheet up to, what, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
They had a couple million-dollar renovation. It's now an NHL-size sheet. So they didn't make that change, and some of their amenities were upgraded with that.
Well, they've got a team that's built for the place. They play really well there. They're very difficult. And our fans know. They saw them play back late in November here in Sault Ste. Marie. So they're the same team, and they're very, very good. And they are, as we say, ranked number one in the nation now after this past weekend with everything that happened. Minnesota got beat again, and some other good teams at the top, BU. So there's a Minnesota State Mankato right there in the mix as the top-ranked team in the nation. Checking into other things, we do have some injuries. I think the guy we're going to talk to here tonight, Daniel Vernacci's banged up a little bit right now. I noticed he kind of disappeared in the game on Saturday night. I know it wasn't because he wasn't playing well. He was playing very well. And Pete Spratty's still hurt, but I hear he's skating. And Scott Patterson seems to be out with an upper body injury now.
Yeah, Scott didn't progress as well as we thought. You know, Matt McKelvey, our trainer, does a great job with our guys. Thought he would be maybe ready to go in practice today and wasn't. So he's looking like it's a little bit more long-term. Not major, but a few weeks still away. Spratty is a full go, so that's good. We had a great game down in North Dakota before he got hurt. So Spratty will make us a little more competition on the back end. And, mentioned Vernacci, his strongest weekend of the year by far, was a real good Friday night game. And boy, he had a great A too. He could have had two or three goals with some of the great A's he chanced. So their line really had some immediate chemistry, and Dan had a very strong weekend. And then, late in the second period, had a little bit of an upper body injury. He was very limited today. He tried to skate and couldn't quite handle it. So hopefully he's ready to go tomorrow, and you know, that'll put him in the equation for this weekend. If he doesn't go tomorrow, it gets a little bit tough to have a guy ready to play by Friday. But he's a strong kid, so hopefully he'll be back.
Well, we got a big weekend coming up. Bemidji State will be here in hockey, but it's a busy weekend for our athletics department because we have basketball on campus. We play on Thursday night with Saginaw Valley at Cooper Gym, and then Saturday afternoon, Hillsdale's here for a couple of basketball games starting at 1 o'clock, and then hockey that night. And there is a special. We talked about this several times during our game on Saturday night. A $12 cost to the anybody, and you get both basketball games and the hockey game that night. That's pretty good deal right there. And I want to get your comments on some of that that's going on this weekend with Bemidji here. And then the blue gold thing that's coming up on the off weekend. Let's get into that right now.
Yeah, well, a great promotion by our department to get people out. You know, it's a Laker weekend, and I really enjoy watching our basketball teams play or having the other schools I've been at. We've been gone so much. I think I've seen one game, so I'm excited. Thursday, I'll hopefully get my son over to watch the basketball games and cheer them on a little bit. It's a good environment, and obviously men's team's having a great year so far, and so it's a great way to get people out and spend all day on campus. There's actually what are they calling it? A tailgate at the alumni house in between the men's game and our game. So after the game, you can run over to the alumni house, and they've got some giveaways and raffles and food and all that good stuff. So it'll be just a great day of Laker athletic events, capped off by the game with Bemidji State. So that'll be exciting. And then you mentioned January 31st, we're gonna have our blue gold game down at Polar Stadium, and more details are starting to come out. We're working on a couple of areas. I think it's going to be a 5 o'clock start. It'd be a great way just to kind of get back to our roots a little bit and hopefully have some fan in, access and interaction. It's a busy day. There's a lot going on down there, with the Hockey Remembrance Day, and, the high school has a game, before us. The Eagles play after us. So we're really trying to make it almost a hockey day in the Sioux type atmosphere where everybody's coming down to Puller and really enjoying a great day of hockey.
Let's make it really entertaining. Let's have the high school play St. Mary's again before us.
We heard about
everybody
that
will love that.
We heard about that on the road. You know, Twitter was blowing up over that. I don't know all the details, but, so hopefully our game doesn't get that heated, but we might have the same refereeing crew, so we'll have to watch Coach Mitro on the bench down there.
Yeah, now let me ask you this, too. How do we play a blue gold game? We got enough guys we can do that, or are we going to dress Prouche and McKelvey, and you going to play, or what? Well, we don't have that many guys.
Prouche will not make the team. So, Paul, if you're listening, you're not getting the nod. But you know what? Coach Mitro's going to working hard to find some of our – club guys or some other students enrolled. We're hopefully going to have 2 to 5 club players or students at Lake State who have, you know, played at a high level, whether it's high school hockey, junior hockey, and you know, can come out and help us out. And they'll spot in a little bit. You know, we have 4 defensemen for each team right now. If we remain healthy, we'll probably try to add 1 D each team and kind of spot a D-man in. And then we need to find 2 forwards to make 3 lines on each side. Probably be 2 25-minute running time or maybe 2 20-minute stop time. But that's a little bit, it gets challenging because of the numbers we have, but, I think it'll be a good event. And the real reason, you know, one of the main reasons we're doing it is we don't play that weekend. We got to be ready to go back into league play the following week and maintain that game conditioning, that game pace. So for us, it's really a great way to try to mimic that. And then it gets us out with some of the fans and, you know, hopefully an autograph session after, time permitting and space permitting. But for us, it's kind of a double whammy there to get out involved in the community and interact with our fans, but also to maintain that game readiness.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I think the fans will love it. And it's at Puller, which is good. And the Puller's been renovated. It's very nice. You get down there now. And it'll be fun that day to go down and just kind of stay in game shape for the next weekend, right? Because we do play again right away. We're going to take a break in the show. We'll be back. Daniel Vernacci will join us. We'll be back with more of the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.
And 1400.
All righty, we are back at the Antlers on a Monday night in Sault Ste. Marie, the Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford joined now by Daniel Vernacci, and junior winger for the Lakers, and had a pretty good weekend. Had a goal and an assist on Friday night. You had to feel awfully good about that, and then you kind of got banged up a little bit in the second period of game 2, and I didn't see you again, so I figured you must have gotten hurt. So what's the status there?
No, I just kind of little back pain, but I guess my back's a little older than I feel, I guess. But I'll be good. I'll be ready to go. Matt McKelvey, the trainer, takes good care of us, like Coach said, and you know, working hard to get back, and I should be ready to go this weekend.
Think you'll be back in the lineup Friday night?
Who's to tell, really? I hope so. I thought our line did a good job of contributing this weekend, and you know, obviously the results weren't there, but I thought we were able to generate some offense, and the team's really coming along, which is good to see. So.
Yeah, and that line played really well. You know, both games, Friday night in particular, where you came up with some points. Mitch Nardi at center, Globke on one side, you on the other side, and yeah. You've all got, especially you and Globke, have some pretty good size to you. You know, Mitch isn't the biggest guy, but he's very good on faceoffs.
Yeah.
Pretty good playmaker, great skater. There's no reason why that line shouldn't really work out once you kind of get the chemistry going.
Yeah, well, that's what we were telling each other. I mean, it's the thing where, you know, those two guys are very hardworking guys every day in the weight room and on the ice, and I like to pride myself on, you know, being the same way. So I think we kind of, you know, we're all kind of good team guys, and like you said, we're gonna gel. And I thought we did a good job of building some chemistry very quickly this weekend, and even over the weekend in Ferris.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about Mankato. What kind of team are they to play against? They're very good, obviously. They're ranked number 1 in the nation after the weekend, which is pretty darn good out of the 59 D1 teams. Yeah. But they're pretty strong all the way around. You got to be really, really on the game all the time and pay attention every second you're out there, or they're going to burn you.
Yeah, I mean, you look up and down the roster, they don't really have a lot of holes or weaknesses, but they're a very good transitioning team, and we knew we were going to have to, you know, skate very well to to be able to compete with them and get on their forwards and their defensemen very hard and put pucks at the net and get traffic in front to be successful. So unfortunately, it didn't work out this last weekend, but see them again. And
I thought we did a good job, though, especially on Friday night, of bouncing right back. They had the lead. They built it to 2-0, and then Globe scored to make it 2-1. And all of a sudden, it was a game. And they couldn't, try to do anything in particular to build the lead on us. We were playing really well right with them. They took the 3-1 lead. You came back and scored, made it 3-2. It was a hockey game until the officials kind of took it away there in the third period with the four straight penalties in the first 7 minutes. But up until then, that game could have gone either way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the way we're going to have to be down the stretch to be successful is a team that just is in your face and just won't go away, really. I mean, we're going to have to put some points together here and take care of home ice first and foremost, and then go on the road and win some tougher games. So I think in order to do that, we're going to have to be a team that, like you said, we stick around and just won't quit. So.
How about this weekend coming up? How much do you know about Bemidji? We played them last year. I don't even know if you played against them in that series over there where they beat us on a last second. In fact, it was an overtime goal that they beat us on. But we had them. We won two from them last night, or one game from them last year. They swept us here. But they're a tough team. They skate.
Yeah, they're a very pro-style team. You know, they're kind of big, and, they like to use the body, and they skate well, they move the puck well. So, I mean, we let a couple games get away from us last year on home ice, but we're looking to return the favor here and hopefully do some work and gain some ground on them this weekend.
Now, it's got to be really gratifying for you, too, because you've fought hard to get in the lineup this year. You've missed a lot of games. You've been a healthy scratch a lot. You've been hurt a little bit, but good to get back in there, and you had to be really happy Friday night with a goal and an assist.
Yeah, of course. It's always good to contribute. I mean, like I said before, obviously, it's unfortunate we weren't able to get the points we needed, but it's always good to contribute. I just found, week to week, just trying to be ready and do the right things on and off the ice and be a good team guy. And when I get my opportunity, just kind of, work and make the most of it.
How's the schooling end of things going for you? What are you majoring in?
Exercise science is my major. I was actually on the dean's list this last semester, so I finished at 3.6, I think.
What a boy. Thank you. Hey, the fans here like that. Yeah. They like to think they have smart guys on the team, but gives you an appreciation for Matt McKelvey, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's very, very knowledgeable, and, I kind of I use him as a study tool most of the times, before night class, and I'll ask him little questions here and there, and he's always up for a challenge, so.
Yeah, and I've been really impressed by those guys over the last few years. Paul Prouche, he adds an element of humor to everything, but he does his job very, very well.
Yeah.
And Matt's really a pro. He does everything right by the book. And what's it been like for you guys with the coaching changes and all that stuff, too, and all these new guys coming in this year with all these freshmen?
Well, you know what I mean, and sometimes it kind of hinders a team, but I thought for the most part at the beginning of the year the coaches did a good job of sitting us down and telling us exactly how it was going to be, and I thought that the team, as young as we are, we kind of gelled rather quickly, and the results aren't there right now, but they're coming, and I hope the fans in town are ready for a surprise and a show, because the guys are ready to win some games here down the stretch. So.
Yeah, I think it's very fair to say that this team has improved steadily all year long. We're a much better team right now than we were when we played Minnesota State Mankato here in the Sioux back in late November.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm sure the guys feel it too, and it's very frustrating, obviously, coming off a tournament win in Florida like we did, and we're kind of hoping to string some wins together. We didn't do that last weekend, but like I said, we're working hard, and we're not going away. From our coaches down, we don't quit. We do a lot of video and a lot of extra work aside from practice and stuff like that in the weight room. So I'm confident that the results will come.
No, you're a Toronto boy, right?
Yep.
So you a Leafs fan?
I grew up a Leafs fan. Yeah, absolutely.
Did they do the right thing firing Randy Carlyle?
Kind of put me on the spot here. Jeez. I don't know, to be honest. I mean, it's tough when, one guy gets blamed for, an organizational issue like that. For me personally, just my humble opinion, I think that their drafting can be a little bit better in the future years. So, I mean, we're gonna see. Toronto's a very tough place to play with the media and stuff like that all over you every week. So, if they can turn around, then you know, I'll be happy to watch them play for sure.
Yeah, not like playing in the Sioux. The media is just usually pretty calm and cool.
Well, you guys are on our side, you know, for the most part. Yeah, so
there's not a lot of media in Estonia either.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have done a good job. You know, when you make a trip like this, you know, obviously you're a hockey player, you want to play, you're really happy you're on the trip, and you know, you don't want to be a guy who gets left behind, and it's tough for the guys who do. I felt really bad for Nathan Harris last weekend. He didn't make the trip, and you know, that's not my decision. I don't get to make that call, but he was our guest between periods on Get to Know Your Lakers, and it was really a tough interview for him. He wasn't happy that he wasn't going, but he was gracious enough to do it, and he did a good job.
Right. Yeah.
It is tough.
Yeah, he's a good kid, and you know, I've been where he is right now, and it's a tough spot, but you know, it kind of, you know, makes you resilient and makes you appreciate the opportunities that you're given after the fact. So I'm sure he'll bounce back, and he's a heck of a player, so he's gonna make some moves here soon.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is a team that's only gonna get better, and let's hope it gets started this weekend at home against Bemidji State. That we'll get the. For one thing, it'll be great to play at home again.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a long time since you guys put the white jerseys on.
Yeah, it feels like a long time since we've played at home. And, you know, I'm sure the fans are looking for a good show, and we're hoping to put one on this weekend for sure.
Okay, very good. Daniel, thanks for joining us here on the Laker Hockey Show tonight, and good luck this weekend. Hope you're in the lineup on Friday night.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Okay, Daniel Vernacci joining us here, junior out of Toronto, Ontario. We'll be back with the final segment of the Laker Hockey Show right after this on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're back for the final segment of the show tonight from the Antlers. Great crowd on hand as usual. Want to thank Mark Sinangelo for stepping in for Carl Mason and engineering here at the Antlers. And Jimmy DeSano engineering back at the station. We really appreciate them. They do such a great job for us. We've got a big series coming up this weekend. Bemidji State is here. They're coached by Tom Ceratori. They're a good team. They're unbeaten in 7 games. 4-0-3 is their record. They've got a freshman goaltender named Bitzner who's playing really, really well for them right now. And they got enough good players there. Matt Prapovesis is very good. Corey Ward beat us in overtime last year there with a pure speed play and an overtime goal. Ruslan Padan had 2 goals the other night for them. They got the rookie player of the week in this Kyle Bauman kid I'm looking forward to seeing. He had 2 goals for them against Huntsville. They're an underrated team. I think they're down in the standings though, and there's no way the way we've been playing lately, it's not going to be 2 good games.
Yeah, no, we'll be ready to play for sure. You know, a group you didn't mention was maybe the, I don't know how many times you've seen it, but the Fitzgerald triplets. They recruited the Fitzgerald triplets out of the BCHL, and I think 2 of them were among the top point scorers in that league. I think one might have led the league in scoring, and so they're a fun little. And I think they play together still. So they're a fun little. They're small, skilled, skate pretty well. So they're a pretty fun group to watch. And I think it's the first time I've heard a triplet playing together. So that's pretty unique. But you mentioned Corey Ward, very good player. Charlie O'Connor's been hot as of late. So they're good. And I think a lot of people knew Bitzer, whether it would come his freshman year or later on. It was a very, very good goaltender in junior hockey, and. They're a good team. You know, they're challenged the way they play, as we talked about. Ton of pace to their game, underhandle pucks. So we'll have to be sharp and keep bodies in front of us. And we've got to look to continue that great defensive effort once it's established in our zone. And, you know, another thing that brings a challenge with the way, because we try to outnumber and surround in our D-zone coverage, their first touch, they look to change it from east to west, or cycle east-west, we like to call it. So we'll have to do a good job of cutting off that east-west cycle and trying to transition to offense.
Yeah, it's gonna be a good series, and for all the old timers like myself, we look at Bemidji State as being a team that the Lakers built quite a rivalry with back in the late 1960s, early 70s, back in the NAIA days when the Lakers won 2 national championships at that level. I think Bemidji won about 3 of them at the same time, and they had some players, and they had some great battles. They were coached by Bob Peters back in those days, who is still the granddaddy of their hockey program there, and Ron Mason was coaching the Lakers, and then Rick Comley, and man, they went at it, and we had some great battles with Bemidji State. So every time I see them, I kind of remember all that stuff, and those uniforms are basically the same, certainly the same colors.
Yeah, and met in 4 NAIA championship games, I believe. So I think it was met 4 times in that national championship game. You mentioned those legends in college hockey, the coaches there. So. Yeah, I didn't realize some of that history and rivalry, and I've got some history going back to the college hockey America days when I was at Wayne State with Coach Sheratori and his crew down there, and he lost one of his assistant coaches this year. But before he left, their staff had been together for 10 or 12 years, and
yeah.
A lot of their success was that continuity that he had with Bert and Ted. And then they've done a really good job in the beautiful new facility and in a great hockey town. So it'll be fun to keep this rivalry renewed.
Yeah, and it's going to be this weekend, Friday and Saturday nights. Let's talk about a couple other things with players, et cetera. People ask me every time I go near Able Arena, or they'll call me or they'll text me and ask me what's going on with Luke Sandler. Let's update everybody on him. He is back with the team. He's been skating.
Yeah, Luke's looked really good for the layoff he had. We thought he'd be a little rustier. You know, one thing about Luke, when he came into, he looks like a Division I athlete, a Division I college hockey player. He's thick, he's strong. He trains with great groups over the summer out in Minnesota, where he stays and trains. He's ready to play. He's done a good job. I think in our heads, we look at the BG series and in terms of his size and strength, and BG plays strong. They play hard in their rink especially. So, we'll look to see if we can get him in a game this weekend, so his game speed will be ready to go for Bowling Green. You know, he's got to earn it like anybody, but he's practiced well. You know, I think every day Coach Mitra comes off, boy, did you see Luke do this or that, and he shoots the puck, and he's got his freshman mistakes, and he's got to get better. But he's done a very good job through the separation with the team to stay in great shape. He was on the ice every day on his own, certainly working out, doing those things. So Luke's ready to go, and then hoping he gets an opportunity at some point coming up.
Okay, and recruiting, I know Rich was busy this past weekend out seeing some guys. Are you looking now for the future mostly? Are you pretty much set with what you want to bring in here next year?
Yeah, we're pretty close. I mean, you never know again. I mean, in today's world, go back to Michigan Tech. You know, we had Phoenix Copley in net last year. He's a sophomore for us at Michigan Tech. I think he was 7th, 8th in goals against and 7th, 8th in save percentage, and he signed with the Washington Capitals this summer. He actually dressed Saturday night for the Capitals. So you never know what will happen. You know, who knows the surprise guys you lose, whether it's NHL contract or guys looking for that opportunity. So we're close to being set. There's still some areas we feel like we need to upgrade. We talked about power play and adding some dimensions in that area and in terms of a defenseman and quarterback that. So we'll continue to evaluate that and see who's out there who can help us in those areas. And like I said, you never know. I mean, it's crazy. Something's late in the game. You think you're done, you're out of money, and then the right player becomes available who's a good fit. So we're always going to be looking and trying to make our team the best we can make it.
Looking ahead to next season, too, we've complained enough on this show and in general about the schedule this year and how tough it's been to be away all the time, and our home fans don't get to see us play very much. What's the schedule like next year? What are the non-conference schedule? What are the games there at this point? I know you don't have them all, but you probably have some.
Yeah, we're pretty close. And unfortunately, it's not a ton better. We were able to add a series just I'll leave this out open-ended and our intelligent fans can figure it out. But recently a team added a Division I hockey program, and that was my first call. Like I said, the scheduling is done 3-4 years out. So when you come in, you look at your schedule, there's gaps in it. It's pretty tough to find teams, and everybody wants home games as well. So you go out, try to find a team who's got an open date that matches with you and can come to your facility is very difficult. But as soon as that team was announced, I made a call the next day, and they're scheduled to come in next year, which gives us some more home dates, which is great. We've got the Vermont tournament where we're all set to go into Vermont January 1st, 2nd. This is finalized, but not quite out there, but there's an icebreakers tournament in Portland next year. We're going to open up with Portland again. We had some openings at the beginning of our schedule. We're feeling it's a great schedule. I wish there's a few more home games once again like this year. We did get a couple more, which is nice. And we'll go down to East Lansing next year. That's almost finalized, and they'll return that trip the following year. So we'll get the green and white up here, and then people I'm sure will enjoy that series and go down and beating some Spartans. Always a good time.
Are we playing in the Shillelagh next year?
We are. We're
going to play at Notre Dame at Thanksgiving then.
I believe that's next year. That might be a year. It might be
16, 17.
It might be 16, 17, Bill. I'd have to double check. I think it is 16, 17. We've got a one-year break, and then we're going down there for a few years in a row. So those looking to make Thanksgiving plans over the next few years, visit South Bend, and we'll meet you down there.
Okay, in Portland? Is that Oregon?
Portland, Maine. Maine. I'll try to get you west here. We'll return that trip to that new team, and then you stick around with us, and we'll get you out there.
Okay. Except yeah. Bill Gleish probably won't get me out there. But anyway, that's it for tonight. We're out of time here at the Antlers. We want to thank Chris